Lord, you are beautiful. You're wonderful. The song says you're more than wonderful, more than we could ever describe or even think about. Oh, you're so, so miraculous. And we worship you today, and we thank you for the privilege together in your name. Make the word come alive in our spirits. God, speak something so deeply to our hearts today that we can take home and live it out and see answers to our prayers. Oh, God, thank you. We love you. You are beautiful. Amen. Let's also pray for our youth group. Lord, up in the mountains today at camp, Pastor Donnie and a bunch of the team, the bunch of the youth, God, we just pray that you would bring them home safely to us, give them traveling mercies, and thank you for the way we anticipate that you have already met with them on the mountaintop. We love you and thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. It's coming Saturday. It's going to be a really neat day. We have our prayer walk and our treasure hunt, and I'm asking all of you to come out and be with us starting at 9 o'clock. We'll be here in the sanctuary for an hour of prayer. And then some of you will remain here and continue to pray while some head out onto the streets and look for heavenly treasure. It's a great first Saturday. We've been doing it every first Saturday, and it's a wonderful thing we're doing. Then at 3 o'clock, something really special is going to take place, and this man's going to come right here and tell you about it.
All right. Thanks, Pastor. How you doing? All right. Bless you. How's everybody? Oh, man, we just got back from Hawaii. We went over for about 2 weeks to minister over there, and right before we went, I had to come here and get prayed for. I said, before I go anywhere, I got to get covered in prayer. So Pastor Randy and Pastor Vic and the team surrounded me and prayed for me, and we had fantastic results. Hundreds of people got saved in Hawaii. So we're thankful for that. And we have shifted to do, we're going to do, it's not really a concert, but we're going to present a CD, a new CD with me and the kids, you know, ones that won last year with the contest. They're from ages 10 to about 15. And they are just wonderful kids. They're actually getting saved as they're singing, because I'm taking secular kids. I heard the highest dropout rate in the whole country was in Vegas. So I said, let's just wrap our arms around the kids, get them pointed toward the cross, and we'll save them as they come. So that's what we're doing. So Pastor Randy's told me to announce to you guys, next Saturday we release our first CD, and it's called You Can Begin Again. That's the name of the CD. So if you guys want to come, it's going to be next Saturday at Green Valley Baptist Church. It's on Valley Verde, just off of 215, 270 Valley Verde. And you guys can come over at 3 o'clock next Saturday. So God bless you. Love you. Thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for us and the kids, because, you know, without your prayers, it won't happen. But with them, God is opening up doors of miracles for these kids. So God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. Hey, just a point of clarification, Green Valley Christian Center. It is the Baptist Church. Over on. Oh, well, that's fine. Hey. Some of my best friends are Baptists. So. I love the Baptists. All right. Green Valley Baptist. Okay, very cool. So, 3 o'clock next Saturday. And then a couple of weeks, don't forget, we're going to do Trinity time when we change the clocks. We are not going to change our clocks until Sunday afternoon. And some people say, why do you do that, Pastor? Because I love messing with you, that's why. No, I just hate it that the government tries to take that hour away on Saturday from God's people. So we just keep going. And if you mess up, you'll be here an hour early, so that's another special thing. Okay, turn with me today in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. I want to read the first 15 verses for you. Ladies, how about that picture on the front, huh? Is that beautiful or what? Dude, I've had so many of the ladies say, oh, that's a beautiful picture right there. Thank you, Pastor, for some guy vacuuming. Yeah, that's good. Okay, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh, but he said, yeah, you did. Yes. Yes, you did laugh. The drama of this passage as it unfolds is one of the most marvelously written stories of the entire Bible. Abraham begins by showing hospitality to three strangers over the course of a day. And the way it's written in the scripture, you may not notice that. That may seem like that only took an hour or so for that whole thing to transpire. But it was really over the course of an entire day that this passage of Scripture is taking place. And by Abraham, by the end of the day, realizes something really powerful, that he is in the presence of God. Powerful. And not just God, but God brought two angels along with him. And these are the three men. And not really, he's not really aware of that at the beginning. This occurrence is called a theophanies. Anytime there's an appearance of God who comes and shows up. Now, the Bible says no man can see God the Father and live. And so, interesting. As we take a look at this, and you always wonder, you know, who is this? And of course, the great Sunday school answer, well, it's Jesus. That's the answer to all the Sunday school questions. But it's just a beautiful way to see this. Jesus is really our God who became a man. Jesus is God who became a man. And that doesn't happen until 1900 years later than this occurrence. So who is this? Is it really Jesus? Okay. Hard to get a hold on this, but it is, of course, it is Jesus. It is. Jesus is definitely the one who according to John 1:18, brought God out from behind that invisible veil. And if you want to really see God, take a good, strong look at Jesus. But to actually call this occurrence Jesus is not quite accurate. Again, why? Because Jesus is the God, fully God, fully man, who comes to the planet 1900 years later after this. So it's more appropriate to refer to this occurrence here in the scripture today. And it's written in the form of Yahweh, the Lord, but we're going to put a slash on there. It's Yahweh slash Messiah. This is Messiah who shows up. This is what the Jewish people have been looking for all of their lives. And we need to pray and ask God to open their eyes, because we all believe and we know that the Jewish Messiah has already come. And his name truly is Jesus Christ. So Messiah here is the second person of the Trinity appearing in human form, but not yet fully God, fully man, Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind as we are reading through this. What happens is that Abraham is sitting under his favorite tree, and he put his tent there. He's 99 years old. He's sitting out in front of that tent in the heat of the day. Now, you need to understand that what's going on here, Abraham, he is just sitting there, and he would have been able to see these guys approaching if they had come from somewhere, but they just show up. So all of a sudden, it's like a mirage. Whoa, these three guys are standing there. And so that kind of signifies that something special is going on, but it does not indicate that he really knew who he was dealing with. According to Jewish tradition, it suggests that this was definitely God showing up with two angels. And one of the angels was Michael, who is the defender of Israel. The other angel, according to Jewish tradition, is an angel called Raphael. And Raphael, according to Jewish tradition, touches Abraham and heals him, because this story in Jewish tradition is set just 3 days after everybody in the camp was circumcised. So here, imagine, I don't know if you can just feel the pain. Abraham sitting there in the heat of the day. He'd just been circumcised a few days earlier. He's still in a lot of pain. He sees these three visitors, and he gets up, and the Bible says he starts running around. He wants to get them well fed and well taken care of. And it's on his heart to be able to extend to them some real Middle Eastern hospitality. Now, I know a little bit about Southern hospitality. I was born down south. And just recently went back there. Pam has a nephew who lives in Tennessee. And I have a brother that lives there. And so we went over to her nephew's house. He was making a nice spread, and I wanted her nephew to meet my brother who had just moved there. And I asked him, hey, would it be okay if my brother comes to the meal that you're preparing? And he said, Randy, it's the South. He can come. He can bring his neighbors. He can bring his friends. He can bring anybody that wants to come. It's the South. Southern hospitality. And that's what's going on in our story. Abraham, he's 99 years old. He's sitting in the front of his tent. It's the heat of the day. Now, there's an interesting contrast, and the Bible does this by design, that Abraham is sitting there, and there's not a lot going on. It's a very quiet day for him. Contrast that with Lot, over in Sodom, in a busy, bustling city. And over there, these two angels are the two that show up to see Lot, and you'll see that in the next chapter, chapter 19. But Lot is busy, and he's participating in that evil city's business. He's at the city gates when he sees these two men approaching. From our rush here, rush there world, think about how slowly everything must have been moving on this particular day. Abraham, his iPad's on the blink, his iPhone has run out of juice, nobody's texting him, there's no electricity anyway for another 3,600 years, there's no TV. Now, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards had just started the Rolling Stones about this time of this story, but Abraham didn't go to their concert. The concert was over in Sodom. Lot went to the concert, but that's the next chapter. So picture this. There's no air conditioning. There's no cars. There's no noise. It's all peaceful. And perhaps this was more like the way God designed us to live. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, isn't it amazing? Technology was designed to lighten the load in our lives, and now you can't get away from it. Emails, texts. Some of you are texting right now. Some of you are emailing right now, and that's okay. I get it. I've sit there. I listen to sermons. Somebody calls on my phone. I have to check, see what's up. You know, I mean, it's just the world we live in. But somewhere in this world that we're living in, what happens next in this story, I don't want you to miss this. Abraham, he gets up, he runs to get the fatted calf, the veal. Imagine going in to a restaurant and ordering veal. And how long do you think it would take if they went out from the time you ordered it, the guy runs outside, looks through his flock, picks the little calf, hands it to the cook and the chef. They have to prepare the meat. They have to cut it open. They have to take their time. This is an all-day affair. This took all day long. And Abraham, in verse 5, something really neat happens. He says, now it's not evident at all that he knows who he's dealing with yet. He's just doing hospitality. And he says, let me refresh you. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. And then the answer from God, Theophanes, Messiah, the God who shows up and appears to Abraham in human form, these two angels. Now, come on. We're talking about God. God, can you imagine God giving him this answer in verse 5? Very well. Go ahead. Do as you say. That just is mind-boggling. That is really, really amazing. Because God certainly could have said, you know what? Don't worry about going to any fuss here. I'm kind of running the universe. I'm a little busy. Just like you did with fishes and loaves, hey, I'll just create you a meal. Boom! That could have happened very easily. We all know that could have happened. But notice this. I think this is so important. You know the verse in Nehemiah 8:10 that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That verse, what it really means is that when you live your life in a way that is pleasing to God and you're bringing Him joy with your life, then when you know that your life is bringing joy to the heart of your God, you're going to gain some strength from that. That's going to strengthen you. Yeah, God was pleased with me today. God wanted to commune with me today. I pulled away. I got rid of all my technology for a little while. And I spent some time alone in the presence of God. And according to this text right here, the Lord himself was refreshed by Abraham spending that time with him. We put together a little video on the creative team, and just to sort of illustrate this, have a little fun, let's watch this right now.
All right. What is it?
Oh, wrong one.
All right, man. Okay. All right, God. It's 1 hour. I'm sorry. I'm going to give you this 1 hour. Just be with me, Lord. Give me just clarification in these scriptures, Father God. Just speak to me. Thank you. I gotta take this. Hello? Yeah, what up, man? Time with you.
Those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve?
All right, sorry. Got you, I'm giving you an hour, sorry.
You've got mail.
Oh, Lord. I gotta take this
email. You've got mail.
Real quick, sorry.
I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me?
Okay, I'm sorry. It's the last time. Full hour. I think it's a text from this one girl. Hold on. I'll be right back. Hold on.
I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying.
I gotta get that. Oh man, I have to laugh because that's my life right there. I'm trying to spend time with God, and boy, all the stuff's blowing up. There's a beautiful part of this passage as well that I just want to point out to you, and just to show the symmetry and the harmony and the beauty of the Holy Scriptures. Moses, as he's pouring this out and writing this out, he writes about how Abraham said, I want to wash your feet. And it's like he's washing the feet of Messiah, of the one who will one day wash the disciples' feet. And he doesn't know that that's going to happen. The scriptures have beautiful and wonderful symmetry. Let's move down now into verse number 9. By the time we get there, Abraham and Sarah are realizing something really special is going on. These are special visitors. They didn't really have time beforehand to prepare for a visitation from God. But boy, when God showed up, they were absolutely scurrying to make sure that the visit is just an exquisite one, that they're spending time together in the Lord's presence. Now, it's an interesting thing that happens here. Culturally, you would not do this. You would not ask another man about his wife. That was just beyond the bounds. So it's a little rude. It's a little daring, actually. And yet, Messiah asks Abraham about Sarah. Now, what's about to happen is interesting, because God knows where Sarah's at in her heart, and he's wanting to increase her faith, just like he did for Abraham back in chapter 15. And so what goes on here in this situation, while he's asking about Sarah, and let's just read it again real quick. Verse number 9 says, where's your wife, Sarah? Well, she's right there in the tent. The Lord, Yahweh / Messiah, says in her earshot, knows exactly what he's doing, and he says, I'm going to surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, what's going on? Jesus, Messiah, he's setting this whole thing up so that Sarah's faith can increase. Now, friends, how many of you are aware of the fact that when God wants to increase your faith, then he's going to give you a challenge? Now, we call it problems, but they're really not problems when they're set up by God. They're just opportunities for growth. And I love to look at things like that, not while it's happening, but after the fact. But wouldn't it be cool if you could just know, okay, wait a minute, God's just trying to increase my faith. We had a men's breakfast yesterday, and the pastor that spoke for us told a story about doing an outreach. He was from L.A., and they were doing an outreach in Seattle. And he had a big 18-wheeler that he was sending up ahead for the outreach, and it broke down, or it was about to break down. The guy driving it didn't have enough faith, and so he turned around, and we're headed back to L.A., and the pastor flew to Seattle. He gets there, and the pastor of the church there where they're going to do the outreach says, I heard that the truck's not coming. He goes, I know. He goes, well, let's just pray. They prayed about it. They went over to this, right there was this trucking company. And so it was him and the pastor and probably the associate pastor. And so the three of them walked in there. And as soon as they walked in the door, the lady looked up and screamed, who's working at the trucking line company. And she grabs the phone, calls her husband, and says, get back here. He had just left the plant, and they're here. They're here. Get back. Guy comes in. He's kind of looking white-faced. He just says, anything you guys need? And all they did was walk in. And they said, you know, well, we could use an 18-wheeler. No problem. Whatever, I'll get it. Gets on the phone, calls. The guys bring it up. It's right there. Doesn't even ask how long they need it. Doesn't even ask for their driver's license. Nothing. Just says, take it. Here, let me give you some money. Reaches in his pocket. Here, be blessed. And those guys, they're scratching their head, and they want to know what happened. Well, they eventually found out that three nights earlier, the wife, who was behind the counter, had a dream that three men were going to walk in, men of God, that needed their assistance. Now see, the pastor could have been thinking, oh, great, Lord, you know, the driver bails on me halfway and decides to turn around and come back. When you go through difficult places, sometimes it's a design from the Lord to increase your faith. So hang in there and learn all you need to learn. Now, the next thing that happens, as you know, is Sarah's laughter. Sarah begins in her heart, not out loud, to laugh. And the Lord, Messiah, Yahweh Messiah, asks Abraham why Sarah laughed. Well, Abraham didn't hear Sarah laugh. It happened inside the tent, inside her heart. How would he know? And yet, God is just setting all of this up. Again, he's going to bring about this beautiful contrast between the way Abraham responded and the way that Sarah responded when they heard the news. When Abraham heard, when he was 90 years old, now he's 99, and when he heard that he is going to be the one who gets this promised son, and it's going to happen through his now 90-year-old wife, he laughs. But he laughs in worship. He laughs, and Elohim laughs along with him, and it's a worshipful time, and it's a wonderful time of childlike belief. Sarah, on the other hand, is laughing out of her disbelief. Listen, here's something important. Every internal attitude, every muttered word, every thought, and every feeling we have is just as clear to God as if we spoke it out loud boldly to his face. That's important to know. But let's cut Sarah a little bit of slack. Even though she's kind of got this disbelief going on, put yourself in her shoes. She's 90 years old. And she asks this question. She says, how am I going to see this come to pass with him? That old guy who's now 99. How are we going to have this pleasure? How are we going to have this son? How is it going to happen? Man, oh man. Sarah had been barren all of her life. Abraham was able to have children. We know that. Sarah was the one. And for years, she had carried this pain. Some of you understand this kind of pain. But here, Sarah is just so hurting when she hears this. And it kind of moves her into this disbelief. And then she ends up lying. But the key to this whole thing, again, is how God is taking Abraham's laughter on one side in worship, and he's taking Sarah's laughter in disbelief, and he blends it all together, and they have a son that they name He Will Laugh. That's what Isaac means. He will laugh. And God is working this out. Friends, God can work something out for you when you have great faith. God can work it out even when you're struggling in your faith. And you need to pray like the guy in the New Testament prayed, help my unbelief. So here's kind of the next really cool thing that I want you to get out of this sermon today. Now don't miss, there's another ironic thing that happens. This is really cool. Again, Moses is not really aware of this. But what's going on is that the seed that's talked about in this scripture is not just Isaac, it's Jesus. So here's God talking to Abraham about his seed. And essentially, he's talking about himself. And it's going to come full circle. When you look at this holy scripture in Genesis, remember, this is talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the seed of Abraham. And as we talked about last week, anybody who believes in Jesus is also a part of this beautiful family of faith that Abraham started when it was counted to him as righteousness, justification by faith. He believed and it was counted to him. What was counted to him? All of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, we today are the recipients of that. And so what happens in our text is so powerful, it's so amazing, because, and the Lord knows exactly, he knew where Sarah was, and he says all of that to bring us to this marvelous verse that all of us have known since we were little kids. It should be on your refrigerator. A little quote of Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult? The original Hebrew is difficult, is captured there, but it's way more than that. And we're gonna mess with you just a little bit here. My consultant, Larry Wilson, who you're going to get to hear preach in a couple of weeks, he says that this verse really, really in the original language says that there is nothing that is too wonderful for the Lord to do for you. That's what's being said. And that's what can be applied to our hearts and lives here today. There is nothing that is too wonderful for God to do for me today. I want you to say that along with me. We're going to put it up there in caps right now. Say it with me. There is nothing too wonderful for God to do for me today. Not only is that what the original language portrays when you look at the scriptures today, but it also goes further than that. There is nothing too miraculous for God to do for you today. Say that with me. There is nothing too miraculous for God to do for me today. Do you believe that? See, I don't know if we really believe that or not. I really don't know. I don't know if we grasp the fullness of what God wants to do in our lives. Now, sure, we all have these wants, these things that we would be selfish about. We would consume on our own lusts. And you're probably not going to get any of that. But what do you need? What do you really need God to do? What do you really want God to show up strong in your family, in your personal physical body that you're struggling with? What is it? What do you really, really need? The scriptures today are telling us that you serve a God who can do wonderful and miraculous things. Let's back this up with a New Testament scripture, Romans 8:28. All things, we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then if you'll go down just four more verses, you'll see this incredible verse in verse 32 of Romans 8. Says that He who did not spare His only Son, but on behalf of all of us, He handed Him over. How shall He not also with Him give to us all things? Have you ever really put those two things together? These are rhetorical questions that God is asking us. God did not spare His own Son. What more evidence do you need that God wants the very best for you and will give you everything you need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? These are two parallel questions. Is anything too miraculous for the Lord to do? How will He not give you everything? So when these two questions come together and they are asks for most of us, they're too big and they're too bold. And really, when you think about it, it ought to make you laugh. Now here's the question that we close with. The question I have for you today is whether you're falling on your face in worship and belief when you laugh, or are you hiding behind the curtain and lying to the Lord and yourself and saying you did not laugh in your unbelief? Notice, even here, we find the grace of God. Though Sarah lied and did not believe God, God still kept His promise to her and Abraham. God confronted her right away and restored her relationship with Him. And here's the key. If or when God feels far away, you have to remember who it is that did the moving away. It wasn't him. It was us trying to justify ourselves, trying to figure it all out on our own. No. God is right there waiting. He's still waiting. He's longing for us to come back to the spot where we left him and restore our relationship with him. And even today, friends, if you've gone through a great time of unbelief, maybe it was just a moment. Maybe it's been a year. Maybe you've been stuck in unbelief for a decade. Maybe some of you, it's been several decades. God is still waiting to be gracious to you. He's still wanting to be your miracle. He still wants you to know today that he is so wonderful that there's not anything too wonderful that he can't do for you. If you can absolutely today join with him in believing. I'm excited as a pastor. There's a couple of movies coming out on the big screen. Son of God is one of them. I've just seen the previews. It looks wonderful, although I don't think Jesus was that handsome. That guy's got blue eyes and pretty teeth. The Bible says he wasn't that good looking. But I'm hoping that that really tells the story the way we all like to hear it told. But the one movie that I am aware of, I have read the book. Pam and I read together this book, Heaven is for Real. And it's about a four-year-old little boy who died on the operating table and he went to heaven. And he sees his mom in one room calling people for prayer. And he sees his dad over in a chapel at the hospital. And he's yelling at God. He's so angry at God. He's a pastor. And he just can't believe that God is going to take his little boy. And so I've got a little tract that they're putting out to push the movie. And he says that the little boy tells his dad he saw him in the waiting room. And the dad says, "Here I am yelling, chastising God, questioning him about his wisdom and his faithfulness, and God still, in my anger, in my disbelief, in my bad attitude, he still heard and answered my prayer and brought my little boy back." Now, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment, because I'm going to ask you all to do something very special as we bring this message to a close. Whether out of great childlike belief, when you go to dinner, when you go eat later, if you put pepper on your food, look at one of those little black things as it comes out of the shaker. That's the size of a mustard seed. And I'm saying today that if any one of us could just have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that the God that you serve, that's the attitude God wants you to have. That the God that you serve would be able to accomplish for you that which right now you're sitting there thinking it's just way out of God's reach. It's too wonderful. It's too miraculous for God to pull off. But I'm telling you that even if you've got some doubts, like Sarah did, and we don't fault Sarah, imagine being